The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Like Bob on Facebook at facebook.com/BobBurneyLive.
Yeah, we were just talking about this proposed peace plan between Israel and the Palestinians. We know from a biblical standpoint that there will be no peace until the Antichrist cuts a deal. If you know anything about biblical prophecy, you know that the Antichrist is going to show up. And he is going to promise he's going to propose a plan that will bring peace to all the nations of the world. All they'll have to do is submit and surrender to his power. He will make a treaty with Israel. He will fool them. Now, is this plan part of that? No, I don't think so at all. I don't think it bears the earmarks of the prophecy concerning the Antichrist and Israel. But then, of course, as most of you know, he will break that promise, that plan, that peace plan will be violated. And depending on your eschatology, I am premillennial, pre-tribulation. I don't make any excuses for that or apologies for that. And according to that eschatology, study the end times, then all hell is going to break out. The tribulation, the great tribulation, will begin. But here's, I read through the book of Esther this morning. Finished up Nehemiah. Just, man, I love Nehemiah. And, you know, you come to the end of the book of Nehemiah and you're just reminded of the importance of people praising God. You are reminded of the importance of music in worship. You see that in the second half. Well, not just in the second half, all through the book of Nehemiah, the importance of the singers. The singers. Provision was made for the singers. There was a place for the singers to live. There was provision financially for the support of the singers. Music in worship. You can't mistake that in the book of Nehemiah. And the importance of corporate worship. Now, it's important to worship alone, yourself. But the Bible is filled with the importance of corporate worship, getting together with other believers in worship, Old Testament and New Testament alike. And then you cannot mistake the importance of the Word of God. Now, in Nehemiah and in Ezra, these people have been captives in Babylon, and they're returning little by little by little back to Jerusalem, back to Israel. And they were in Babylon for at least 70 years. They were there for a long time, where there was no worship, where there was no reading, studying the Word of God, the law of Moses. Most people had no clue. A generation had passed. They didn't know what the Word of God contained. And after the temple is built in the book of Ezra, and then the walls of the city are rebuilt in the book of Nehemiah, and true worship is established, and people are moving back into Jerusalem, and they're establishing the nation of Israel again with Jerusalem as its capital. And before they do really anything else, they get out the Word of God. Now, obviously, there were scrolls, And they were the books of Moses, as far as we know. Probably Deuteronomy. We're not positive, but probably Deuteronomy. And here's what I love. Nehemiah gets what is called a pulpit of wood. That doesn't mean that all pulpits today have to be wood. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying that there is a biblical precedence for an elevated place where the word of God was read and proclaimed. And Nehemiah reads the word of God from a pulpit of wood and then, quote, gave the sense of the meaning. In other words, exposition. He read the scriptures and then he expounded on them. He explained them. And I just thought there is so much that we do in our churches today that has such a biblical foundation. And yet there is constantly a move to try to fight biblical patterns and biblical principles. I hesitate to say this. I really do. I honestly hesitate to say it, but I've always been a big fan of Francis Chan. You know, Crazy Love. I've got that on my Kindle and enjoyed reading Crazy Love. And I've never heard him speak in person, but I've heard many of his sermons. I've been very, very impressed. And recently he, you know, left the big church that he had pastored, and now he's going to go to a mission. He's going to go as a missionary to, what is it? Either Tibet or Nepal, I think. I don't remember. And my goodness, that's wonderful. He's leaving the comforts of America and he's going off to a foreign country. That's great. But he's gone off the deep end theologically. He's changed his position on communion from the Protestant and evangelical view that the wine and the bread, the juice and the bread are symbols of the body. He is now espousing a purely Catholic doctrine, and I'm sure Catholics are loving this, but he is espousing the, quote, true presence of Christ, that the bread and the cup are literally the body and blood of Jesus. What flies in the face of evangelical doctrine and certainly Protestant doctrine. And then just a couple of weeks ago, he wrote a lengthy article basically attacking pastors and preachers. Now, he didn't say this should be done away with, but he said we need to get away from just one person. We need to get away from a preacher gathering a whole bunch of people together, whether it's dozens or hundreds or thousands, and preaching. One person preaching. We got to get away from that. It's not good just to have one person. Well, there are a lot of pitfalls to that one person, but it's thoroughly biblical. Day of Pentecost. A person, primarily Peter, there were probably others as well, but Peter preached. Jesus, the Sermon on the Mount, one person preaching. Nehemiah, preaching. Joshua, preaching. Moses, preaching. And then the verses in the New Testament about the foolishness of preaching and the foolishness of a preacher. Now, that person needs to be a man of God. And there are pitfalls, and we've seen this when we idolize a person. We've seen the fall of James McDonald. We've seen the fall of Bill Hybels. We've seen the fall of a number of televangelists. We're too much trust was put into one person without accountability. There is dangers in that. But as I haven't got to what I was really going to talk about, which was Esther. But in Nehemiah, you see this. The climax of the book of Nehemiah is the people getting together for corporate worship. And part of that was singing. A very important part of it was singing. And then the ultimate. Someone got up, read the Word of God, and gave the meaning, the sense, the exposition of Scripture. Now, that's clearly Old Testament. That we follow that same pattern today. We get together as a corporate body and we worship. And that's why, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together as the manner of some is. This thing of corporate worship and a preacher expounding on the Word of God is thoroughly biblical. Thoroughly biblical. I meant to talk about Esther. Maybe I'll do that when we come back. I chase rabbits, okay? Hey, my telephone number is 877-BOB-LIVE. That's why, folks, it's so important that you be a part of a solid, Bible-believing assembly of believers where you can get together for corporate worship and the exposition of God's Word. All right, we'll be back.
Follow Bob on Twitter at twitter.com/BobBurneyLive.
By the way, I can't remember whether I mentioned this or not. I honestly don't remember. But 1 week from right now, at this moment, Lord willing, I will be in Indonesia. Yeah, I'm leaving this coming Tuesday. Headed off to Indonesia, go from Columbus to Chicago, Chicago to Tokyo, Tokyo to Jakarta, Indonesia. 1 hour flight from here to Chicago, 13 and a half hours from Chicago to Tokyo, 8.5 hours from Tokyo to Jakarta. And then a few days later, headed back the same way. I'll just be gone a week, basically in a week and a day. I have the privilege of going with the Bible League. If you're a longtime listener, you know that in years past, every year I would take a trip with the Bible League. And they stopped those trips with talk show hosts for several years. They have reinstated them. And this is the first one. And I'm just deeply, deeply privileged and honored to be asked to be a part of this trip. We will be visiting remote regions in Indonesia. I will be preaching in at least two churches. One, very, very primitive young believers, very uneducated in basically a hut. I will then also be preaching in a much more traditional style church building. From what I understand, a fairly large church. Primarily of former Muslims, Muslim converts. We'll be visiting the largest Buddhist temple in the world. Originally, we were going to go there at 3 a.m. They changed that just a couple of days ago. I'm not sure all the reasons why, but I'm not brokenhearted. Anyway, I will have wonderful, wonderful, wonderful guest hosts while I'm gone. So you can look forward to that, but I would appreciate you praying for me. Safety and, of course, praying for joy, holding down the fort here. What I originally started to talk about in that last segment was not Nehemiah, but actually Esther, because we were talking about this peace plan proposed by the Trump administration and the Netanyahu administration in Israel. And I read through the entire book of Esther, which is short. It's not a large book. But I read through this morning, and that's the book of Esther is one of my favorite books. But in light of this peace plan for Israel, it was just a reminder to me what a miracle the nation of Israel is and how true God's promises are. God promised that he would protect the nation of Israel. He said, I'll be your God and you'll be my people. I will bless those that bless you. I will curse those that curse you. God promised that the nation of Israel would never completely leave this earth, that he would protect it. And the book of Esther is really an illustration of that. It's the nation, the kingdom of Ahasuerus. And most of you know the story. There's a wicked man named Haman. He hates the Jews, and he devises a plan to kill all the Jews. And he talks the king, Ahasuerus, into signing a proclamation that on such and such a day, if you have Jewish neighbors, just kill them, just slaughter them. And there would have been a mass slaughter of all the Jews in the kingdom, except for Esther. You know the story, her uncle Mordecai told her about the plan. She was the new queen because Queen Vashti had disobeyed the king, and Esther was made the new queen. And Esther says to Mordecai, her uncle, I can't go into the king. I can't go unless I'm invited. Mordecai says, if you don't, we're all going to die. And that's when she said, okay. And if I perish, I perish. And she realized that she was born for such a time as this. I love the book. She goes into the king, explains the plan, and it's a hysterical thing. If you didn't think there was any humor in the book of Esther, read it tonight and look at what happens to Haman, this wicked man, after he builds gallows to hang Mordecai. And what happens immediately after that, what Haman has, it's hysterical. I mean, it's like a comedy play. It really is. It's funny. It's hysterical. And the plan is destroyed. And not only are God's people saved, they're given a very, very special position. And as I finished the book of Esther this morning, I thought the same thing today. The fact that Israel exists is nothing short of a miracle of God. Millions of people wanted Israel destroyed. Hitler tried to wipe them all out all over Europe. The Arab nations, the radical Muslims, have tried to wipe them out in Israel. And yet, if you look at the Middle East, Israel is an oasis. Small, tiny little land, most prosperous country in all of the Middle East. In spite of the fact that they are surrounded by people who want them dead, surrounded by the adversity of much of the world, most of the United Nations, Israel is a miracle nation because God keeps his promises. And folks, if God has kept his promise to Israel, he will keep his promises to you and to me. That's the kind of God we serve. Thank you.